Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your teacher and host, Eddie Hyatt. We're continuing talking about the fundamentals of the faith, and we've been talking about, especially about repentance. And so I want to begin talking today about faith. And remember, repentance and faith are like two sides of the same coin. They must be preached together. Paul mentions this in Acts chapter 20, I think it's verse 21, where he was speaking to the elders at Ephesus, and he reminded them of his 3 years that he had spent with them. And he described it as this: testifying to both Jews and Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is from the Greek word pistis, and it means to put one's trust in, to put one's hope and trust and confidence in that person. And we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. The passage that I want to read today, as we talk about faith and what is faith, is Romans 1, 16 and 17. And this passage was the key in the Reformation, and Martin Luther, and we'll talk a little bit about his experience, because he brought back to the church the truth about that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not in works. Repentance is not a work. Repentance is an act of turning from self toward God. And faith is putting our trust completely in God and what He has done for us through Jesus Christ. And so, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel itself, it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," what is it? The gospel. "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The word just, it means righteous. And some translations would have, "the righteous shall live by faith." And Paul here in verse 17, he quotes from the Old Testament, from the prophet Habakkuk, who made this statement, "the just," or "the righteous shall live by faith." Well, what does that mean? Well, the life of Martin Luther gives us a good example of that, because he came to a realization of what this means. Verse 17, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed." How to be right with God. What is the righteousness of God? It's how we can be right with God. How can sinful, fallen humanity ever stand in the presence of God? Ever be accepted and stand right and acceptable in the presence of God? Paul says in the gospel, there is a revelation of how this can be. How we, sinful human beings, can be right with God and stand right and acceptable in His presence. "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," or "the righteous, shall live by faith." Now, here's how Martin Luther came to this. Now, Martin Luther, born in the late 1800s, Roman Catholic, as all of Europe was at that time, and grew up in a devout Roman Catholic home, and he later decided to become a monk, and he joined a monastery, which was a withdrawing from the world. This is where the real people who wanted to be real spiritual and close to God would go. They would join a monastery, they would become a monk, and they totally withdrew from the world, and they would live a life of prayer and fastings and asceticisms, and even treat their bodies roughly, and, you know, sleep on the floor or on hard beds, thinking that all of this would make them somehow more acceptable in the sight of God. Now, Luther, in his zeal to be a saint and to make his salvation sure, he went beyond the required discipline of the monastery. He engaged in extended times of prayer, meditation, fasting, vigils, night watches, and other religious exercises. So much so, he was held up as a model of sanctity by his fellow monks. And he later wrote, "If ever a monk got to heaven by monkery, I would have gotten there." In other words, he went all out, giving it his best effort, his best shot. But even his best efforts did not relieve the torment in his soul and the sense of corruption in his heart, and he had no peace with God. He said it was not a particular sin that he could identify, but sin as a corruption of nature and a sense of alienation from God that distressed his mind and brought him to the brink of despair. Wow. Well, while he was in the monastery, I'm going to tell you about his breakthrough. And through this, see, I'm believing that we're going to get some insight into what real faith is. Real New Testament faith. While he was in the monastery, Luther was sent back to the university to get his doctorate of theology degree. This meant that he studied Greek and Hebrew and was able to read and study the Bible in the original languages, the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. He was thrilled, for this is what he had longed to do since the first time he had seen a Bible. See, this was before the printing press, so Bibles were rare. The first time he had picked up a Bible in the university and just was in awe as he held this book for the very first time as an adult. And so studying Hebrew, studying Greek, and studying the Bible, now this was very important in his preparation, in his as being the great reformer. So in 1507, Luther was awarded the Doctor of Theology degree, and he was also ordained to the priesthood. He remained a part of the monastery, teaching in the monastery, but he took on extra duties, you know, in preaching and hearing confessions. And then later on, he was assigned to teach at the college, or what's called a university, at Wittenberg. Wittenberg was a very small, insignificant German town of only 3,000 people. But you know, my friends, God loves to take the insignificant things of this world to confound the mighty. Paul talks about this. He loves to take the weak to confound the strong. He loves to take the things that are considered as nothing and insignificant to show forth his glory and power. Well, Luther, as he was studying, he was assigned to preach Romans and Galatians, which are all about faith, how we're saved by faith and not by works. And as he's studying, even in the original language, which made it come even more alive to him, what Paul had written about that we're not saved by the works of the law, but we're saved through faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, a whole new vision of what Christianity is all about, what the message of the gospel is, opened up to Luther. And he said, "I felt like I was born again." Somewhere around all of this time, his superior in the monastery sent him to Rome on business for the monastery. And so Luther was really looking forward to this because Rome was the holy city. But when he got there, man, it was so different. His perception of Rome as a holy city was shattered as he beheld the corruption, the vice, the immorality that had taken over the city. He was shocked by the unbelief, the levity, and the immorality of the clergy, of the priests. And Luther later said himself that he received the impression that Rome, once the holiest city, was now the worst. Wow. While he was there, you see, he's still struggling with this tension between works and faith. He has grown up with a works mentality. Yeah, he's starting to see something about faith. But while he was in the holy city of Rome, tradition was still strong enough that he decided to make the most of his time in Rome and acquire some special indulgence or blessing while there. He therefore went to a shrine called the Scala Sanata, a set of marble stairs famous for the supposed blessings that could be attained by climbing the 28 steps on one's knees. By the way, I'm reading right now from my book called The Charismatic Luther, and this book is available on Amazon, also on our website, but you can go to Amazon and just enter my name, Eddie Hyatt. Scroll down, you'll find the book, The Charismatic Luther, or just enter The Charismatic Luther. And so he's climbing these stairs that are supposed to be something special and holy about them, and that if you climb them on your knees, you can gain some kind of special blessing. The Word of God, however, was already at work in Luther's heart and mind. And according to his testimony, as he climbed the stairs on his knees, he seemed to hear with every step the words of Romans 1:17, "The just shall live by faith." Oh, these words of Paul were ringing in his heart as he's trying to gain some blessing by another work, religious work. Before he got to the top, Paul's words were ringing in his heart. God's words were ringing in his heart so strongly, "The just shall live by faith," that he just got up off his knees and walked down. He was a changed man. And from then on, Luther began to boldly declare that we cannot obtain acceptance to God by our works. We cannot obtain blessings from God by our religious works. We can only become acceptable to God by putting our faith in what He has done. Not in what we have done or what we do, but we must put our faith in what God has already done for the human race through Jesus Christ, through God Himself coming to this planet in the person of Christ, dying on a cross. We must trust in what God has done, put our faith in what He has done, not put our faith in what we have done and what we can do. Does that mean that what we do does not matter and that we can live a life of licentiousness and immorality? No, no, no. Of course not. Paul does not teach that. The biblical writers do not teach that. But our acts of righteousness must flow out of our faith. Our faith can never be a product of our own works. Our works of righteousness must flow out of our faith in Jesus Christ. That is the beginning, that is the end, and everything else must flow out of our faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. When the devil comes around and tries to tempt you and say, "Look what you've done," say, "Devil, I point you to the cross and to Jesus. Look what He has done. That is where my faith is. My faith is in what He has done. And what He has done is so incredibly powerful. He has saved me from my sins. He has lifted me out of that pit of destruction and iniquity and condemnation and has brought me into the presence of God because of my faith in what Jesus has done." Hallelujah. Hey, this is Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. Folks, put your faith in Jesus today. Him and Him alone. You'll never be the same. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Yeah, I encourage you. Check out the book on the Charismatic Luther. You will be greatly blessed by his life and by the things that he learned and communicated to the church about faith. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.